Amen, church. Can the church say amen? Amen. We are so blessed to be here this Lord's morning. God has smiled on us, granted us a reasonable portion of health, strength, and soundness of mind that we can assemble here in the house of the Lord and be equal with Him. Are we equal with Him when we dwell in spiritual places? When we come together as the body of Christ, singing, praying, communing, giving, and being taught the wonderful words of God? We are a holy people. It's the scripture tells us in 1 Peter that we are some wonderful, wonderful spiritual people. And we should know this because we live in a day and age in which there are a lot of things going on, as Brother mentioned in our Bible class, and even shortly the things happening in the world becoming terrorizing. And sometimes, you know, you can kind of shakes your foundation a little bit, but it says in 1 Peter, the second chapter, the ninth chapter, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what the scripture says about you. And of course, according to Matthew 5, it tells you you're the salt of the earth. And that's a good thing to know. We take pride in that as a Christian, as a member in particular of the body of Christ. And so we are, of all people, most blessed. I thank God. I'm Brother Randall Hall, as was announced. I thank God for this, the Church of Christ first, and this location of the Church of Christ, where our faithful brother and our elders, which deserve double honor, and that they have labored long and hard at this congregation, and they have set up an order which is acceptable in the sight of God. When you read over in the book of Timothy, Paul wrote Timothy to establish elders in the church. This is good for the spiritual benefit of the Christian who is trying to grow in the nurture and the admiration of the Lord. I'm not pointing fingers or anything like that. I'm just glad God has called me to a congregation where there are spiritual leaders set in place according to the plumb line God has dropped. This is a straight way, a narrow way. We are being judged by the word of God. God, Christ is in heaven. Colossians 1 and 18 says he is head of the body of the church, and that he is the first begotten from the dead. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And so he has, this thing is right. And so welcome to the Church of Christ. Welcome to the Stony Island Street location. Christians and friends, if you are not a member of the body of Christ, we pray after hearing the message. And if you have more questions, we have elders here who can more than enough answer according to God's word what God's will is, to give you satisfaction as to what must you do to be saved. At this time, as a wonderful tradition, our beloved Brother Carter, who is our minister of this congregation, has set forth in his presentation, is to pray. Let's all go to God in prayer at this time, if you will. Let us humble ourselves and petition our Heavenly Father. Our God, our Father, which are in heaven, we rejoice in that you smiled on us, rose us from our beds of slumber, and have given us this first day of the week. We rejoice, Father, knowing that you are a faithful God, and that in raising up Christ to sit, and we are so thankful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who you gave to suffer and to die on the cross for remission of our sins, and sits on your right hand with all power and authority. We rejoice that we have access to you through him. Father, bless this congregation. Bless us, Father, as you have, kindling us together in love, being mindful one of another, growing affectionate one to another, Father, and thus in your sight be found faithful children. Father, be with us this morning as we deliver this message in its simplicity. Let us not add to or take from, but let us, Father, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, whether it be of God. Father, thank you for this, again, for this Lord's Day. And for the assembly of the saints, we give praise and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I've undergone a message this morning pertaining to the thief on the cross. And this lesson is a very diverse lesson. I've listened to many ministers preach it. And I think I'm not a debater. I want to put that before you right here. I'm not standing before you to debate anything. I'm not debating. I'm not in the ideologies or ideologies of men. My job is to preach the word. A wise brother in the brotherhood who works with money says, if you want to know what the real thing is, they teach you what the real thing is. So the counterfeit, when you see it, you know what it is. You haven't got to worry about it. You know what I mean? But we need to know what the real thing is. And the word of God is this Bible. Did we all have our Bibles with us this morning? How many have your Bibles? Raise them up. Let me see how many Bibles it was. Amen. This is the mind of God. I've said it before. This book points the way to salvation to those who are Christian. It speaks of the doom of those who are sinners, as well as the happiness of those who are believers. Its doctrines are holy, precepts binding, history's true, and its decisions are unchangeable. Paul told Timothy, according to 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 2 and 15, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and that it is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instructions in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But he also told him, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And so this lesson about the thief on the cross, which is a very interesting lesson taken from the book of Luke, I pray will keep it simple and direct. There are going to be some subtopics in here dealing with salvation under according to the thief on the cross. And is the thief in heaven? We'll touch on those things. But God has written his word so that everything is self-evident. It supports itself. There's no contradictions. And I pray through this message that we will, again, find something that we can hold to, especially during this holiday time of season where it's just so much going on. I had to renege myself from some plays that they wanted me to be in because I couldn't bow down to a tree. I really couldn't. And so so I had to tell them not this year. I'm sorry. My mind won't let me do that. So wherever you are in your Christian growth, I pray that if you petition God's word earnestly, I know God will lead you and give you understanding. According to Luke, you turn your Bibles with me. Thank you for the reading and thank you for the wonderful song service. Luke, the 23rd chapter. The verses are read into our hearing, 39 through 48. And it read, just to reiterate, if you have your Bibles, open and read with me. And one of the malefactors which were hanged riled on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent and met in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this man was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight beheld the things which were done, smote their breast, and returned. And all, it says, and all his acquaintances, and the women and the followers who followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. This is the text read into our hearing this morning. I'd like to start off with, there's a lot of mystery surrounded around this, but as one minister said, when you looked at the cross, there were three crosses up there. And these male malefactors, these were thieves, as the scripture says. These were thieves that were hung with them. You might start off and say, was there any mention of these thieves in the scriptures other than just there on the cross? And I'd have to bring your attention to Isaiah at that point, the 53rd chapter, the 12th verse, which said he would be hung between two thieves. If you have that, you can go there. But I like to say one man on the cross died in sin, and that was one not confessing Christ. One died to sin, confessing that Jesus was the Christ and to enter him into his kingdom, and the other died for sin. The scripture tells us in this case of the book of Luke, that Christ had no sin. I like the book of Luke because he gives an accurate account of the Christ, the Messiah, from the beginning, from his birth till his resurrection. Isaiah, and then in the book, well, I'm trying to, let me follow the path of this right here. And the scripture tells us with this confession made, let's go back to the confession made here. And one of the malefactors hanging, riling on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself from us." But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Let me tell you something. Scripture tells a Christian not to suffer as an evildoer. And that's a blessing. God does not want us to suffer as an evildoer. The only other mention of thieves that Christ mentions in the book of Luke deals with the one who, the Good Samaritan, which he mentions vaguely, some thieves did some bad deeds to the Samaritan. And so this is not a good place to be, but the scriptures predicted that the mind of men, which if you go to the book of Malachi, were evil. And that it was 400 years prior to, God had not even spoke to the Jewish population because of the heart condition of man. And we see that these thieves, him hanging between these male malefactors, that Christ was sinless. I want to make my point here. Make a point, because a lot of people feel that if the question from then on is, can a man be saved just by faith? Because Christ said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," according to verse 43. And we have to understand what paradise is. Paradise was a place above the distant body soul. That, according to, you can find a brief analysis of that in the book of Luke 16 and 19 with the rich man and Lazarus. The Jews believed that it was a bosom of Abraham in which they had a place of rest. And there was another place, there was a place of torment. And so we understand that this Hades, or this place, this paradise, was not the final conclusion as to where one would be, but it was a place that you would go to once you died. The interesting thing is that most people say, well, did he go to heaven? More so, did he rise up and did he go to heaven with Christ? A lot of people teach this as doctrines. That when Christ said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he went up to heaven with him. We have to understand in John 20 and 17 that when Christ arose that third day, when you read more so about in Matthew, the 28th chapter, when Mary Magdalene came to the scapular and he was not there, we have to understand that this is the third day he had arose. He said, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended into my Father in heaven." That was the third day. If you turn to the book of Acts, the first chapter, and read the first three verses, we understand that it was 40 days after, on the day of Pentecost, and he ascended up on that day. And so when you say, well, where was the thief in all this time? If he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise," the thief was still in paradise. He was still in what? Hades. A place waiting what? For judgment. If you look at Revelations, the book is 14 and 13, we find out that the Christian has a rest in Hades. But it's the upper Hades, the paradise. For it says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. For henceforth their works do follow them. And they are resting from their labors." And so we find that this God had the power at that time to save who he would, because he was still in the land of the living. Now you might say, well, what about today? Again, are we saved the same way today? Along the battlefield, a lot of times they run up to you and say, "Let me read your last rites." We have to understand who gives the rights. Who set the rights into motion for men as far as their spiritual well-being? You'll find out in the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter, if you'll turn there and start off at about the 15th verse. Turn over there. Hebrews 9 and 15. It says, "And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death,
for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they were all called, that are all called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also be the necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. The testator is Christ, who died for the sins of man. The gift was the gift of salvation. The condition was the gospel, to hear the gospel. So scripture says, well, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The death, it says, the death was the death of Christ. And the inheritance are for all of those who obey the gospel of Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning, we are saved by our obedience unto the word of God. For Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so we understand that we're under a new dispensation of grace, in which by the blood of Christ on the cross have brought into existence. For he, being the testator, has purchased this New Testament with his blood. How blessed are we as the body of Christ to have received this blessing from God, his tender mercies, to draw us in. Now, you know, it's interesting. Now, the thief on the cross, Christ pardoned and said, you will be with me in paradise. He's still there waiting, just as we, if we were to die today, would have to be in the same place, a place of rest. But those who stand a guilty distance from God, who have not yet received the gospel or obeyed it outside, there's another place. We have to understand God is a fair and just God, a God who so loved the world till he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Christ is a life giver. Why? I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God has sent God in the form of sinful flesh and for sin to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If we're going to escape the prison of hell and damnation, it's going to be because we have received with meekness the engrafted words of God. I will build my church. 1 Corinthians 2, he says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things in which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, when they watched him go back up into the heavens, thief didn't go with him, he's still in Hades. He poured out the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit down. Acts 2:38, we all know that. Men and brethren, what must we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:11. In speaking to him, other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the one who laid his life down, hung on the cross, and suffered that cruel death, and took on our stripes, and we are healed with his stripes. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we look at this time of season, it is one looking according to knowledge to the Christ that died for our sins. We do not follow cunningly devised fables. We are the children of God. We are the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:4 tells us the what? The church is built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We have a church that is rock bottom and soundproof. Colossians tells us that Christ is the head of the body of the church, that he is the first begotten from the dead. He didn't stay in Hades. He rose up. John 20:17. He rose up in Acts and took the first chapter, the first two verses. He rose up. He said, meet me in Jerusalem. I'm going to give you some power from on high. Wow, some deep testimony. But we must remember whose we are, especially this time of season when the world seems to be vigilant about impressing its will upon our minds. And we, seeking to fit in some kind of way, generally submit ourselves into the wills of men. We are Christians. Our head is still in heaven. And he's alive and he is well. And he has died for the sins of mankind. We should be a light unto the world. When we sit down, you know, one thing that pees me, it's nothing like we have all these dinners in succession of men, you know, and it says, and you sit down and eat, you know, say your prayers, you know what I mean? Rise, lay and eat, you know what I mean? If you eat chitlins, eat your chitlins, eat whatever you eat, but say your prayers, be thankful, set the example before others who don't even pray over their food. And that's one of the saddest things of this day and age, is to watch any commercial or be in any family who sit down to a well-cooked meal and just say, oh, enjoy, and start eating. We need to eat more of the bread of life. We need to point them, be the light that is set on the hill that cannot be hid. We need to not give in to the pressures of the demand to be, I call it, pseudo-society orientated. You see, all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And sometimes if you take this facade off, we stand there naked, and ooh, we don't like to be called naked. But God looks at the heart of man, and he knows who we are. He understands. Once you don't wash your face, once your clothes get dirty, you haven't cleaned them, once you haven't cleaned up your house, that's a predicament. We need to clean up our house in a spiritual sense. We are that thief on the cross and who stood there riding in Christ. That's who you are if you haven't received Christ. If you don't know Christ, you're leaning on your own understanding. You have not submitted yourself to the will of God. Christ still saves, and he saves today. I planned on going through Luke, a lot about in the prior to Luke, but when you're preaching, the Spirit overtakes you. And some things are relevant to our existence now. Thank God again for our elders here who are able to teach you in classes. I pray that it was just as full or fuller when it comes to our Sunday school classes, our Wednesday night classes, our sister's Bible classes, and all the things that have been set in order to nourish you and to point you in the way of Christ. How beautiful would that be to see each and every one of you, not just once a year, once every 2 years or something like that. See truly obedient people to the Lord and Savior who died for our sins. We're living in a very hypocritical day and age. But that does not make void Christ. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. We serve a living God, a powerful God. One day, we all have to die. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I don't know how real that is to you, but I know we've had some abrupt deaths in this congregation that shook our foundation almost. If it wasn't based on Christ, it would shatter you. But because we stand on Christ, we understand that we have a rest that God has prepared for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, you can have this rest. This is for you. Not just one day of the week or once every year to celebrate. You can celebrate this daily. And when we come together on the first day of the week, it's a joyous occasion in the Lord. We are so blessed. We are very, very blessed. Romans 1:17 tells us, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians 15:2 says, by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Christians are those who believe that Christ rose from the dead with all power and authority. and sit in the heavenly places, and that he is able to save and save you now. And that's what we need, salvation. We're living in a day and age in which people are dying to salvation. They don't understand and don't want to understand a lot of the church. Faith comes by hearing. That means being teachable. That means you have forsaken the ways of the world and that you are willing to submit yourself into spiritual teaching, into getting an understanding. We live in a day and age in which the technology is phenomenal and that there's no excuse. There's no excuse. You can speak it if you can't write it. And it'll tell you what you need to know as to how to be saved. Romans says, you must hear. John says, John 8:24, you must believe. Acts 2:38 says, repent. Romans 10:10 says, confession. And 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism. You're added to the body of Christ when you obey the will of God. And you can rejoice as a Christian. Then, if you ever read in over there in, Romans 16:16, he reads out a whole list of those in that New Testament church that were added to the body of Christ. And they were called Christians first in Antioch. I don't know what's more to say to edify and exhort and encourage you as to how blessed you really are as the body of Christ if you continue faithful. This is a joyous thing. You're on a road to glory, and you will never die. There are lots of those who've gone on before us, and we're here because of someone else, primarily, who's laid their life down in the Lord for our sakes. First and foremost, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and those who will come after him. Am I on schedule? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. So this thief on the cross, okay, he's still in Hades. He's waiting for his judgment, just like anyone who dies now will wait for their judgment. It's just will you be waiting in the same rest that he's going to be resting in? He found Christ on the cross. Christ says, the day you'll be with me in paradise. He spoke to him. We can't go back to that. Because why? Christ ain't coming down from heaven again to hang on the cross for you. He's done it. He's done it all for you. How dare we even think something like that? Christ, come down here and do it again. That doesn't even make sense. That's just total ignorance. Christ died and died once and all for the remission of man's sins. We should be joyous. We should be leading others to Christ. And you know, the blessing I'll tell you about the Church of Christ is that growing up in the doctrine of Christ and seeing the families who have laid down their lives in Christ for family's sake, and those coming that way in Christ are still in Christ. Saved from a multitude of sin, the scripture says. A multitude of sin. And remember this, during this holiday season, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Don't be a follower, be a leader, and lead them to Christ. I don't know what more to say. He says, short and strong. Our beloved Brother Thompson, when he preaches here, he says that. We'll bring it short and strong. And so my appeal to you that if you do not know Christ, rest with us. Matthew 11, the 11th chapter, the 30th verse says, rest with us, all you which are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll find rest unto your soul. We need some rest in this day and age of this wars and rumors of wars have always been going on, mind you. But in these last days, it's intensifying because we are the ones affected by it now. Not the generation before us or the generation after us. It's us now. And we're seeing these things, these terrible atrocities, this genocide, this purging, so-called. And what is our place in all of this? To pick up arms and go run and fight and kill and destroy? Our churches, our assignment is to hold up the blood-stained banner of Christ. As the old song says, hold it up until you die. And God will give you a crown of life that fadeth not away. This is the blessing to be in Beulah Land, to receive the blessings and to have the peace we have in Christ Jesus. Thanks to his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
So at this time, I'm pleading unto you, if there's any here who are not part of the body of Christ, you need to get serious about your soul salvation. We're running around here like we're going to be here forever. This is finite and temporal. You're just a few days. 80 of our reason of strength 4. Now, he said 80 of our reason of strength 4, which is 80. And still is there what? Strength, labor, and sorrow. Then it's cut off and you fly away. The older you get, the more defunct these vessels are going to become because they're going back to the ground. And you got woe unto you if you find yourself ready to leave this world and not right with God. When you get ready to leave this world, you should be looking for the coming of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Drop this robe of flesh and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I'm on my way to glory and I will live forever. Yes, I'll live in glory. I'll live in glory. So this time, if you are guilty distance from Christ, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't die in your sin. Now is the acceptable time to ask him. Salvation is now. Christ is risen. The church is established. The doors are open. He's begging you to get yourself right with God. Let's confess our faults one to another. It's healing when you find those who are compassionate towards you and will pray for you and help you. This time, I extend the invitation. Brother, please come before us with the song and come whosoever will.
29, 29.